Tom asked me last Sunday if I would fill in for today, and I said I would. I don't know if that was the right thing to say or not. I was very busy this week in that, but nonetheless, I said I would take the meeting this morning. I was thinking about what Dan had last Sunday, speaking about the wise man and the foolish man, the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and foolish man who built his house on the sand, and he was referring to being on the beach and the water rushing the sand around your feet and so on, and then getting into the story of Jacob and Esau, and Isaac, father Isaac, and the birthright and how it was stolen, and God's plan was, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and so on, and the number of thoughts that he had regarding that. God's sovereignty and God's ways and so on. So I was thinking of doing a little bit more on the aspect of wise and foolish. And the Word of God speaks a number of times concerning the wisdom of man, the wisdom of God, and the foolishness of man, and the foolishness of God in preaching the gospel and to those who simply believe. It's not the wisdom of man, but it's the power of God. I was thinking of reading this parable in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, and you know the gospel of Matthew is speaks of the kingdom of heaven. And we read in scripture the kingdom of God. We also read the gospel of the kingdom. And but we see the kingdom of God in so many times we see it, or the kingdom of heaven, in the parables previous to this, the parable of the pearl, and many of the parables that were given of the sower and so on, begin with the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. And the kingdom of heaven is centered around God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And his church. And the kingdom of God, as we see, referring to the end times and God's dealings with the world and the nations at large, but also surrounding the church of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 says there's a time when he's going to deliver up the kingdom of God to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to. And the kingdom of God seems to be, as it all centers around the church, but God himself is going to, in the end, he's the one will reign and rule supreme throughout this world and throughout eternity. But as we see the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus referring to the things concerning his church and the parables that is likened unto to it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." In this portion of this parable, we see the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 that were wise and 5 were foolish. Through the commentary that I was reading, it was a custom that the evening before the wedding day that the bridegroom would walk through the night to the place of the marriage. And as he walked, friends would join them. And they would be others that would join them when they knew the bridegroom was coming, when they knew that the wedding day was to take place. And as they watched and waited for him, and there'd be those that would come and join with him and carry their lamps that they might have light as they journeyed. And as we see here a picture of the bridegroom coming. And in the marriage, in the Jewish marriage ceremony, or in when a young man becomes betrothed to a young woman, becomes engaged, he would go back to his father's house, to his dwelling, and he would prepare a place for the bridegroom was to join with him. And it's a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone back to glory and is preparing a place for his bride, you and I, for us. That one day there'll be a marriage in heaven when we will be married as part of the bride of Christ. We'll be joined to our bridegroom. We'll meet him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our bride. He's coming in the air. He's coming to meet us. He's coming to take us. Or he's coming to take us, and we're going to meet him in the air. What a day that will be. I want to focus a little bit on the wisdom. The 5 that were wise, and they brought oil in their lamps. And they came and they slept. And they took oil in their vessels, in their lamps. Their lamps were all trimmed, and they were ready to meet the bridegroom. What I'd like to focus on is in verse 6, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Before the foundations of the world, the bridegroom was coming, isn't it? God in his infinite plan set forth that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the one who would come. And he would save mankind from sin. Before the foundations of the world, God's plan was for his church and the Lord Jesus Christ to come as the head of his church and establishing his church and the believers together. And he is the head to carry out God's infinite plan, his sovereign plan, just like we saw in the story of Jacob and Esau. God's infinite plan. Through Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel. And on we see. And God's plan for the 12 tribes in the tribulation time, when there will be 12,000 of each tribe, will be chosen. And God's plan is infinite. The bridegroom cometh. And we see in the tabernacle and in the temple and the sacrifices and all the things in the Old Testament that pointed to the bridegroom that is to come, the Lord Jesus. The message of the prophets and the ministry of the high priests in all these aspects pointed forward to the bridegroom that is coming. But you know, it can't be understood by the wisdom of man. And that's what I'd like to just look at for a little bit, on the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this world or of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we could turn there. Paul speaks, of course, his whole message is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride who has come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the head of the church. But notice verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ shall be made of none effect. And what a tremendous statement that Paul is stating here. It's not with the wisdom of words. He preaches the gospel, the clear message of the gospel, but not with wisdom of words. Because the cross of Christ could be made of none effect. The power of the gospel, the power of the message of the cross could become ineffective, non-effective, if it's by the wisdom of words. And I think we need to be careful as we speak the word of God and handle the word of God. And we're reminded that it's not the wisdom of words. It's not what we say. It's not our words. It's not what we think. It's not our opinion. It's not our theology. But it's God's. It's his. Because if we think of ourselves that it's our words, it's our wisdom, then the message of the cross has no effect. And Paul realized that danger, and the danger of that, of depending on the wisdom of man, but it's the wisdom of the cross of Christ that makes the difference. As he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross that man is born in sin, and that man needs a Savior. He needs to repent of his sin and receive Christ as his personal Savior. and none else. It's the simple preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and it's him that is the center of the cross. It's his message that we portray. It's the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. To us who are saved, it's the power of God. It's a foolish message to the world. To the unbelieving world out there, it's foolishness to many people. It has no effect upon them. They care less for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the cross. It's foolishness to them. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. And the world is perishing. The foolishness of man is perishing before God because of the rejection of the message of the cross. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power to transform a life from sin to a life of blessing before God. We need to go out and meet him. We need to have our lamps trimmed and filled with oil to go out and meet him. And that's what he wants. That's the call that this morning, that we might reach out and to realize that the bridegroom has come and to realize that we're to meet him, we're to accept him, to realize that he did it all on the cross of Calvary. For it is written in verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Quoting there from Isaiah 29 and verse 14. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. The world by wisdom knew not God. It's not by the wisdom of this world. It's not by man's intellectual thinking and man's knowledge and capability. Though man in the world in many things are very wise, but when it comes to eternal things, when it comes to the spiritual things that mean the most in life, man cannot create within himself the answer to their eternal need. It can't be done. The world by wisdom knew not God. And you know that when there's no oil in the lamp, there's no light, is there? The foolish had the lamps. They had all the appearances. They had the container, the wick, everything to produce the light. But they had no oil. And of course, oil speaks of the Spirit of God in Scriptures. There's nothing real. There's no life because they do not have the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we're none of His. And so it is in the world. They can have all the things, but yet lack one thing. Lack the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross. But please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. The foolish ones, the foolish virgins, took no oil. In trying to buy from the wise, or trying to get from them the oil they needed, but they were looking at the wrong place. Looking at those around them. And when we look at the story, we see that they needed to look to God, and they failed to do that. When they went out to buy oil and so on, when they came back, they were too late. The bridegroom had already come. They were not saved. And, you know, it's the preaching of the cross that saves believers. Let's go to a little story in Luke chapter 12, a very familiar story. Luke chapter 12. The parable of the rich fool. He had his crop produced plenteously. In verse 17, he thought within himself, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich before God." This rich fool had God allowed his crops to produce bountifully. But he only saw within himself, in his own wisdom, and thinking of this world. He responded this as the world in their wisdom would respond. "Why, I tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And I'll be at ease. I'll be all set." He was looking at the goods. He was looking at his own accomplishment. But not realizing that night his soul was required of God. If God should come and take him home, what then? Whose things would these be that thou hast provided? Whose would all these crops and these goods be? That's not the answer to his soul. He was simply, God says, a fool. To think that these goods would provide him a way to heaven. We depend on the treasures of this world. We're rich toward ourselves, but we're poor before God. If we lay up treasures for ourselves, we'll have no treasure in heaven. And that's a great danger, realizing that it's gone. Our soul, the moment we're saved, belongs to him, our life. And all these world's goods will pass away. And we're only a fool if we think it can gain us eternity. And you see the foolish brought their lamps, but they had no oil. So it is with this rich fool. He had all the things, but he didn't have the most essential thing. The most important thing was he knew not God. And he simply looked at it as the wisdom of this world. What the wisdom of this world and what this world could produce was his only focus. And you know, it's a reminder to us that as we when we think of the fact that as believers, our focus needs to be on him. Oh, we can get carried up with so many things of this world and many things around us. And we can fail to see what the most important things in our life that God wants us to see in our lives. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. You see, the foolish by wisdom knew not God. And we see here that Paul, as he writes to Titus, reminds them of what they were. In verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." These are things that depict the foolish of this world. I failed to mention that there's two aspects of, as we see in Scripture, of foolish. It's the foolishness of preaching that man is saved. And that's the positiveness of the word foolish. It's positive because it's the message of the cross that saves. And to the world, it's foolishness. But to God, it's the simple message of the gospel, which is the power of God. And then there's the other aspect, and the negative aspect of it, is the foolishness of man. That man's ways as foolishness before God. I failed to mention that, and I should have perhaps a little earlier. But man without God is foolishness before him. And as Paul writes to Timothy, we're sometimes foolish and disobedient. These are characteristics of the wisdom of this world, the things of this world. This is what the world will produce. Disobedience, deceived. To be deceived by the world. To think that it's going to be okay when it's not. To be deceived by this world. And so many people are deceived today. So many people are going to go to hell because they've been deceived by this world and the world system. And the religious system of this world. The deception of men. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, and how we see that today. The lusts of man today and the pleasures of man are only foolishness before God. The pleasures of this world and the lusts of this world. There are many things out there that gives way for man for lust and deception and just the backbone of the world system today. And of course we know that Satan himself is behind as the god of this world. Living in malice. Malice has the thought of masquerade, a mask that is put on. At Halloween time, put on a mask and that. And that's what malice is. It's a mask. It's not the true form. It's simply a mask. It's someone presenting an image that is not real. Doing one thing and saying another. A maliciousness. It's a very dangerous thing to be living in malice. And Peter writes concerning that in his book. To put away all malice and guile and so on. The false image. Presenting an image that we're not. putting on a mask. And it's a very dangerous thing as a believer. And a believer can be malicious, can be living in malice. But we need to repent, and we need to turn to the living God. Envy, to be envious, to be hateful, hating one another, hatred of man's heart. What a terrible thing to live in hatred, to hate someone, to hate one another. What a terrible thing to bear hatred in one's heart. But yet it happens, doesn't it? It happens even in the lives of believers when hatred against another is there. Ought not to be. Ought not to carry hatred in our heart and our mind. Hateful and hating one another. It's two things, as we see, as Paul writes to Titus. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward men, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We have a picture of a foolish man, a foolish woman, living in the wisdom only of this world. What a sad picture it is. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. And here, as I mentioned, we have the positiveness aspect of the word foolishness. In verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Paul says we don't speak by our own words, lest we take away from the effectiveness of the cross. Because it's the foolishness of God that is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. What a opposite of man's thinking of the world, isn't it? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. What a great thought it is. God wants men just to simply turn to the cross, the foolishness of preaching that will save those that believe. He's not looking for the wise of this world. He's not looking for the intellect, although thank God that there are those who have humbled themselves and accepted the message of the cross and gloriously saved. But for the most part, God is looking for those that will simply and humbly receive the message of the cross and realize the power is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 30. And of course, we see let me read verse 26 on. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And God's not looking for the wise men. He's not looking for the mighty men. He's not looking for the noble men that are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things of this world and the things which are despised hath he chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, bring to naught the things that are. And this is the whole conclusion of it all, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh can glory in his presence. When we humbly accept the message of the gospel of the cross and recognize that it's all of him, that it's all of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nothing of ourselves, it's not by my wisdom, my nobleness, my mightiness, and all the things, but it's simply him that has done it all. That he would get all the glory and not ourselves. It's all him. He's calling those that will receive simply the message of the gospel, that no flesh would glory in his presence. Man is so quick to want the glory, aren't they? They're so quick to want the glory in themselves. People today glory in what they do and what they accomplish and glory in themselves. But to a child of God, our glory goes simply to him who has done it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has done everything. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He's made unto us wisdom. He's our wisdom. He's the one who is the all-wise one. And all our wisdom comes from him. We're just going to finish in Matthew 25. I wanted to focus on the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. Notice the bridegroom comes, but those that had the oil, those that were wise, those virgins that were wise and brought the oil, they were prepared for the bridegroom. As they lit their lamps and lit up the way for the bridegroom to come. And then we see the foolish trying to get oil from those who were wise. But they wouldn't give them the oil because lest they would not have enough oil themselves. And as they went to buy oil, in the meantime, the bridegroom came. And he came into the marriage. And the door was shut. And then afterwards came the foolish virgins, came back, but they were too late. The door was already shut. They were too late. What a terrible thing. Man who depends on the wisdom of this world to get to glory. But when God shuts the door, it's too late. The message of the cross must be accepted by the foolishness of preaching. The simple message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ must be received before the door is shut. What a terrible thing to be left behind. Left behind. And man in his wisdom is going to be left behind. He's not going to enter into the glory of heaven only on his wisdom. It must be the power of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only that can bring us in to the marriage of the bride with the bridegroom. But reminded this morning, if there's anyone here that is depending on their own wisdom, their own works, the things of this world, when God shuts the door, you'll be left behind. It's only by his message of grace. And you notice that there's five that were wise and five were foolish, and five in scripture is a number of grace. And it's only by His grace are we saved, are we brought in to the marriage of the bridegroom. It's only His work can we enter in. And they cried out, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But He answered, "I never knew you. I knew you not." What terrible words. What terrible words. "I know you not." But so profound. For man to have to hear, "Lord, open to us. Open the door that I may enter." And crying out, He said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity," it says in another portion. "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because they depended on the wisdom of man. Knew not, there was no oil in their lamps when they needed the oil. And the oil is the Spirit of God and the evidence of one who has received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, receives the oil into their lamp. They become a light. And that oil will never diminish. It will never fade away. It's eternal. But unfortunately, sometimes our light grows dim in the lives of believers, and we need to stay close to the Lord that our light might shine for Him. What a destitute situation to be in, to be rejected because I failed to accept the message of the gospel and knows not the Lord. And the ungodly will depart into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I know you not. I know you not. But if we're here this morning and we know Christ as Savior, we can be thankful that we can hear the words, "I know you. I know who you are. You're a child of mine. Enter in to my glory. Enter into my marriage. Enter in. Come on in. We're welcome." But those who depend on the wisdom of this world will be rejected. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we thank you for the message of the gospel, and we thank you for the many things that you've revealed to us. And Father, help us to have the assurance and the confidence in our own lives and know according to your word that we're ready to meet you. And Lord, we know that you're coming back. We know not the day nor the hour. But as a thief in the night, unexpectedly, you're going to come and you're going to receive us unto yourself. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to have the confidence and assurance that we're ready to meet Him. And help us to be focusing in on the simple things that you've given to us. And those are the things that count for eternity. That you might receive the glory, not in ourselves, but you alone receive the glory and the honor. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.